Chapter 65
"This, finally, is a cruelty beyond me," Andros Guile said. "You deserve it, but this is beyond what I am willing to do. You can't be released, and I won't punish you any longer. How do you wish to die?"
Gavin had felt a change in the air. It could mean only one thing, his cell opening. He hadn't spoken to the dead man in days, didn't want those cold comforts, and the days, or weeks, had blended together. Another thunk of bread falling, another slice of crust against black Luxin, another sleep, nightmares passed to hallucinations, like paired dancers spinning a gorkle. Gavin had no energy, couldn't plan, couldn't concentrate. The isolation was driving him slowly mad. But now he could hear his father breathing. From old habit, Gavin looked in sub-red, and he could see the man so brightly, though in white tones rather than red, it almost blinded him. Gavin looked down, blinking. He didn't want to laugh. It would seem proof of his insanity, but he couldn't help it. His father's words were an exact echo of his own thoughts, again, regarding his brother. "You're too dangerous to release, so I'll imprison you. Your imprisonment is too cruel, so I must kill you." His father had arrived at the logical conclusion much faster than he had, though. Give him that. "Fuck him," the dead man said. It was the first time he'd spoken in a while. Gavin said, "I've murdered hundreds, maybe thousands. I don't know if there is an appropriate method of execution for me."
"I was thinking starvation or poison. I can't imagine I'll ever have to use this cell again, so either would serve. I could simply leave you here to rot."
"As I did my brother. Or didn't. Could you be guilty of things you thought you were letting continue, but really weren't?" Andros said,
"I'm going to make a light. I would see your face one last time. Don't humiliate yourself and embarrass me again by trying anything."
The dead man said, "Listen to me. You can escape. This is your chance." A moment later, light bloomed. Gavin squinted against the glare, but the light itself didn't command his attention. First, eyes averted from the lantern his father produced, he saw the black Luxin. There was barely any reflection of that eerie black. The light that touched it simply died. He cast no secondary shadow from refracted light, and his primary shadow was barely visible. Greater darkness against darkness. Then, pupils constricting, he turned to his father.
"This was a mistake," Andros Guile said. "I don't want to remember you like this, this hideous ghost of what you once were."
"Too late now, isn't it? I got my memory from you, after all. You don't forget, either," Gavin said.
"I suppose not," Andros said.
"If you were simply going to put me down like a mad dog, you'd have done it without this much bother," Gavin said. "You came down to say something."
Andros smirked, but only for a moment.
"I suppose I haven't dealt with madmen enough. Losing your wits doesn't mean losing your wit, eh?"
The dead man grew more insistent.
"Why aren't you listening to me? Are you frightened, Gavin? Gavin Guile? Frightened?"
"Frightened only of what I might do,"
Gavin said below his breath.
"What's that?"
his father asked.
Louder, as if merely repeating himself, Gavin said, "I'll take that as a compliment."
"How soon did your mother know?"
Andros asked.
He meant after Sundered Rock.
"Instantly,"
Andros cursed.
"Of course she did. Gavin,"
the dead man whispered,
"you have a way out."
"When did you figure it out, then?"
Gavin asked.
Andros said,
"On the 7th year from the real Gavin's ascension. We had figured out that you, the victor of Sundered Rock, had drafted Black Luxin, of course. I chalked up all the changes in you to that, and to killing your brother. Would have shaken anyone. But then you never even asked about doing the ceremony again. I didn't believe that you could have forgotten that."
"The prism ceremony?"
Andros waved it away. He wasn't interested in explaining.
"And then, once I could accept that you'd fooled me, it all became obvious. Audacious, though. You played it perhaps as well as it could have been played.
Mother coached me.
Of course she did.
And when you figured it out, there was nothing for you to do but go along with it, Gavin guessed. Andros turned his palms up in a small surrender.
Gavin was dead, and others believed you were he, so what could be done? I could mourn him. I could make you pay. But what would that accomplish?
As if you didn't make me pay.
We have a way out, the dead man said.
I'm sorry, Father.
Andros Geyer looked at Gavin as if he were suddenly speaking in some foreign tongue.
We'll pretend you didn't say that. I came here for one reason.
He stopped, shook his head.
No. What am I doing here?
He's lonely. The thought tore through Gavin. For some reason, looking at this monster, Gavin felt a sudden unwanted compassion. He's lonely. Mother left him. His sons are dead. He's recovered his health and vitality, but it is nothing to him. His last son insane, and even Kip has fled.
Let's play a game, Gavin said.
A game?
Andros asked skeptically.
You always loved games. You and your nine kings. You can't tell me that you haven't missed matching wits with me. Witless as I may be,
Gavin grinned.
What kind of game?
Andros asked, suspicious but obviously intrigued.
Gavin,
the dead man said. You don't need to put yourself at his mercy. Andros Giles' mercy. Andros Giles' mercy. Gavin said,
you tell me about some of the problems facing you, and I try to guess what you're doing about them. Of course, you have to give me enough relevant information to give me a chance. We'll call the game, Which Guile Rules the Seven Satrapies Better?
There are several weaknesses to this game, Andros said.
There are weaknesses to every game, Gavin countered.
Andros obviously missed sparring. He didn't think too long before saying,
to clarify, in the game you're guessing what I have done or will do, not what you would do in my place. After all, we have somewhat different strengths.
Exactly, Gavin said. Anything to keep from going insane. Anything to give himself more chances. Anything to make him valuable to the old man might give him an opening. Growing more irritated, the dead man said,
you don't need to do all this.
I can play this game, Andros said. You know who the White King is?
Koyos White Oak, unhappily back from the grave.
And you know what he is?
Andros asked. Gavin stared at him blankly, not sure what his father was asking.
A polychrome? A man remade with incarnative Luxins?
Andros sighed.
Are you playing dumb, or did you cut yourself so deeply?
I don't know what you mean, Gavin said.
This was not starting well. Andros sighed.
I was hoping it might be useful, in this one thing at least.
He waited, apparently to see if he'd called Gavin's bluff about being ignorant. Then, nonplussed, he said,
you are not the only man alive who can draft Black Luxin. Merely the only one on the Chromaria's side.
Koyos is a black drafter, Gavin said, as it dawned on him.
Of course.
He's taken your old path to power. Except, of course, he doesn't glean his powers from already dying drafters and whites.
My old path to power? So you think I'm the Black Prism too?
Too?
Andros frowned.
You didn't tell Karis about this.
No, or Hollum, no. I didn't even remember any of it then.
It cut him to think about her. It was impossible. Hopeless.
Then who else calls you that? Andros asked.
Never mind that.
Telling his father about the dead men was a sure way to cut this conversation short. His father would think him mad, in truth. Andros looked amused to have this imprisoned wretch tell him what to do, but he let it go.
I more thought of you as a light-splitting black drafter. If you want a more grandiose title, I suppose the Black Prism fits.
Are you sure? Gavin asked.
Whatever do you mean
about me? I don't remember any of that. I didn't seek out people to kill them for their magic. It wasn't like that.
Was it? Gavin said. He thought he'd done all that to save people, that he'd put himself in harm's way for the satrapies, that he'd been at least a little good.
You really have forgotten it all, haven't you?
Andros said.
What's the alternative? That your Lucidonius come again? You're the light-bringer?
Mother said I was a true prism.
Your mother loved you very, very much, but you were her last child, and you were a blind spot for her.
There was something odd in how he'd said that. Irony aside, though, Gavin was Felia Giles' blind spot. Go to hell, father. Her last child? Gavin asked. A pause. Then Andros said,
Not witless, indeed. There is still some spark of you left in that shell, isn't there? Well, I had planned to tell you eventually. No time like at your end, I suppose. Do you remember that prophecy? The day the mirror Janus Borig told you that you would draft Black Luxin? She told me, of Red Cunning, the youngest son, Cleve's father and father and father and son. You remember?
I remember.
There was this librarian. She had access to some documents we needed. With your mother's permission, I seduced her. Naturally, I was careful. She shouldn't have gotten pregnant. She swore she'd take the tea to abort it if necessary. She lied. Showed up in our camp pregnant and with demands. Your brother didn't take it well. She fled.
There were so many things wrong with what he'd just said that Gavin couldn't even begin to parse them. Andros had cheated on Mother. And what pathetic lie was this that she'd approved of it? She would never do that. What documents would be worth such a thing?
It doesn't matter now.
You're certain the girl wasn't lying?
I presumed she was lying, of course. But over the course of time, I've become sure she wasn't.
Gavin was incredulous.
Are you telling me I have a brother out there?
When she sent you your note, she sent me one too.
Sent me a note? I never got a note.
You can't mean
Lena,
Andros said.
She took the name Catalina Deloria when she fled, apparently. Lena. Kip isn't your brother's son. He's mine.
Out of all the things that should have leapt to Gavin's mind, what he thought first was how odd it had been that when his mother had come to Garriston for her freeing, she hadn't tried to meet Kip, hadn't so much as inquired after her only grandson. Because she knew. She knew Kip wasn't her grandson. She knew he was Andros's bastard, and she had no interest in having that rubbed in her face.
Dear Orholum. Kip.
The funny thing was, it didn't really matter, did it? Instead of being the boy's uncle and pretending to be his father, he was actually his half-brother, acting as his father. If anything, that should make things easier, shouldn't it? It wouldn't be, I'm not your father, and by the way, I killed your real father and took his place. Now it would be, I'm your half-brother. Full stop. Kip already knew that the Gavin who was still alive had killed his own brother. Without the weight of being the real Gavin's own son, Kip would be freed of a son's burden to avenge his dead father. But then, it didn't matter regardless. Gavin was here. He was going to die in this black cell.
This doesn't have to happen,
the dead man said. Are you going to tell Kip? Gavin asked.
Someday. Maybe. It's a card I'll keep for the right moment. Maybe if he gets too sanctimonious with me. It'll be fun to see the look on his face.
Why do you tell me? Gavin asked.
I thought you deserved to know. You seem fond of the boy. I wanted you to know I'll look out for him.
Gavin could tell that his father was drawing this to a close. Not just for now. Andros wouldn't be coming back.
Draft Black, the dead man hissed. Kill him!
Look out for him, Gavin said.
You've tried to kill him twice. The assassin was when I still thought Lena was lying, and I was hoping to hide Kip's existence from your mother. As for the second time, you're counting when he attacked me on the ship after the Battle of Rue? He was trying to kill me, if you recall. I was only defending myself, and I was in the grip of Red. Speaking of which, where's the knife now?
I haven't seen it since I jumped. Gavin started laughing quietly.
You asshole.
Pardon?
This was your plan all along, wasn't it? This whole conversation. Give me so many things to think about that I'd slip up. Or Holland's balls, father.
If you wanted to know where the knife was, why didn't you just ask?
Andros didn't deny anything.
I have an island off Melos. Small house there. Excellent, though small, library, including many forbidden books. Stocked with enough provisions for you to stay there for years. Impossible to approach if you don't have the chart, though. Terrible reefs. You go into exile there. I'll even let you take a couple of slaves. But you never leave, and you'll never try to send a letter out. You're dead to the world, you understand?
And in return, I give you the blinding knife?
You really have no idea what it is, do you? We can't make prisms without it, son. The seven satrapies will dissolve. The false prisms war will look like a village fair compared to what comes next.
You can balance manually, by dictate. It's been done before.
The satrapies can stand. We're already doing that. It's failing. We don't have enough people obeying to make up for those who don't. What happens when half the satrapies are pagan? When you're a blue drafter and a firestorm lays low your village because the Chromeria's suggestions are ignored, will you obey their call next year to stop drafting blue so that those sub-red bastards who killed your family will be safe?
Maybe the Chromeria deserves to fall, Gavin said.
Oh, most certainly. Our regime is the absolute worst way to rule, except for all the others that have been tried. The Chromeria is an idea, son. And if it's exposed as a hollow one, civilization falls. Not only to magic, but to the cycle of retribution and the Nine Kings. Drafters reviled by their own families if they happen to be born to draft the wrong colour. Drafters moving to a satrapy where they can be strong. Kings trying to stop them or killing them to keep them from going. Tyrants. One king after another rising as his people's magic waxes. Rampaging across the kingdoms that have wronged them. Massacring drafters of other colours, the terrible magic storms and plagues, the collapse of that king as his colour's magic fails, and then the rise of his neighbours doing the same, and wreaking vengeance on his people in turn. That's the alternative. For thousands of years, that's what was. That's what we stand against.
He's not going to let you out, the dead man said. Once you give him what he wants, he'll kill you.
It was probably true. Would Andros really let Gavin go? Would he trust that he could smuggle Gavin away from the Chromeria itself? What if the smuggling failed? Would he put himself at risk that way? If he gave his word, he would. Andros Gyle was scrupulous about keeping his promises.
Then I'm not the one who's insane, Gavin said.
All this?
You mean the entire fate of the seven satrapies rests on one stupid knife?
If the White King wins, it'll be a moot point. But long term, if the satrapies are to survive, yes, we must find it.
There's only one? Can't you make another? I mean, who made it in the first place?
The Luxiats have stood in the way of previous attempts to make another. It's a holy relic. Maybe Lucidonius made it. Maybe Caris Satyriel. Maybe the one we know was a much later replica. But the Luxiat's grandstanding doesn't matter. There's a key ingredient in the blinder's knife that is extinct.
Of course. White Luxin, Gavin said. He cursed. The dead man was a liar. Or at least, wrong.
Indeed. The stories say that before Vissian's sin, things were different. Drafters of White Luxin were born every generation. A piece like the blinder's knife was a stunning achievement, but not unique. In the intervening centuries, all of the others have been lost.
So if you could find even one white drafter, or find one piece of white Luxin from an earlier era, you could make a new knife? So surely you have such a knife somewhere, just waiting for a bit of white Luxin?
No, Andros admitted. It was tried. There's a level of unity of will that couldn't be achieved by any team, not even one trying to save the world. A blinding knife has to be created by one person. He or she has to be a full-spectrum polychrome and a superchromat to handle the intricacies of balancing that kind of magic.
You mean a person like me?
Now you understand,
Andros said.
So that's the real reason you didn't expose me, didn't kill me. You kept me alive just so I could make you a new knife.
Of course, there had been another reason, and one tied to Andros Gyle's own well-being. But you never so much as hinted about this.
I criticized your brute force drafting, Andros said. I hoped it would inspire you to learn more delicate work.
You asshole.
I thought we had at least another 5 years to get things in place.
Why not just tell me? Gavin asked, though he should have known better.
If I told you we absolutely needed you to craft an instrument which would allow you to be replaced, you would know that until you crafted it, you could do anything you pleased. Anything at all. And we would not only not be able to oppose you, we would have to help and protect you. Even Aurea agreed we had to keep that knowledge from you. And of course, this was all speculative anyway, contingent on us rediscovering White Luxin, and you being able to draft it if we did. But even the hope of such a thing would have put tremendous power in your hands if you'd known about it.
It was like being punched in the stomach, after already having had the wind knocked out of you. Gavin had been so consumed with keeping his own secrets that he had never pried into theirs. He hadn't noticed that they'd also avoided talking about the prism ceremony because he'd been so terrified of their discovering his ignorance. He'd been like a wayward youth, sneaking out late and getting drunk, thinking his parents must never know, thinking them fools who had never been young themselves, while they watched it all and hoped he grew up sooner rather than later. But there was some puerile protest left in him. If the knife was so important, why did you bring it to war against me? It makes no sense. Why would the High Luxiats allow you to endanger it like that?
Gavin was made pro-Marcos. They couldn't refuse him.
You mean they couldn't refuse you, armed with a pro-Marcos? Gavin shot back. Andros tipped his head and shrugged, acknowledging the compliment and the truth of it.
That doesn't answer why. Why would you take it out there? You're going to kill me with it?
Andros Guile sighed. His piercing gaze rested heavy on Gavin.
We were going to try to save you.
Save me?
I was becoming an authority on Black Luxin. Your mother and I started secretly studying it as soon as Janus Borig told us that you would become a Black Drafter. Fascinating stuff about which the world is clogged with superstition and misinformation. But this isn't the time for a lecture. In sum, your mother and I hoped that if we stabbed you, of all people, if we stabbed a Black Drafter with a blinder's knife, that you would survive it. Probably you would survive bereft of your powers, true, but if you can save a mad dog, you don't mourn that you have to break its fangs to do so.
Gavin felt sick. It was exactly what had happened when he'd been stabbed with a knife. It had taken his colours. It had also taken his colour vision. Blinder's knife, indeed. But it had left him alive. Somehow the knife had separated his powers from his life. His parents' hopes and their research had borne fruit, only too late for him, too late for them, and too late for the satrapies.
The knife doesn't take away the black, though,
the dead man said, breaking his silence.
Nothing can take away Black Luxin from you. The abyss lives in you.
If Gavin believed his father and his own will-cast reflections, his own past self and the evidence in front of his own eyes, he had been on the wrong side all along. The Prism's War really had been the false Prism's War. It had been his fault utterly, all of it. From the massacre of the White Oak family to the Battle of Blood Ridge to the burning of Garriston to the coming fall of the Seven Satrapies. He hadn't been caught up in his brother's and father's schemes to purge the Seven Satrapies of their enemies. He wasn't the victim. He'd cast himself as the aggrieved party, but of what had he been the victim? Being a younger brother? The real Gavin had been no saint either, sure. In fact, maybe he'd been a villain too, but he'd tried to save Dazen. For all his flaws, and there had been many, his big brother had tried to save Dazen. And in return, Dazen had killed him and broken the Empire.
You see what the old man's doing, the dead man said, don't you? He's steeling himself to kill you. Or at least to abandon you here and never come back until you die. He's saying farewell.
Andros said,
all this devastation caused by one bitter librarian who seduced your brother in a vain attempt at revenge on me and then stole the knife while he slept. That was why I wasn't at Sundered Rock. I was going after her and the knife. I'd heard she had people in Blood Forest. Never guessed she'd double back to Tyria. Smart, going back to the very centre of the devastation. I never figured she'd be that canny, or that a woman with a treasure literally worth all the gold in the seven satrapies would keep it in a closet in a shack. Never figured you'd stab yourself with a knife and then jump in the sea, either.
Lot of inconvenient surprises for all of us in this, Gavin said sarcastically. Andros waved it away. He wasn't interested in revisiting that.
Tell me, at Sundered Rock, if Gavin had held the blinder's knife, would he have had a chance to use it on you?
Yes, Gavin said.
Don't you see? The dead man whispered. He's getting all his last questions answered. This is the end, Gavin. That bitch,
Andros sighed. He was preparing to go.
Damn you,
the dead man said.
Draft Black, kill him. Let your hatred make you strong for once. Poison, I think, Andros said. Starvation is easier for me, but only in the short term. I should regret it later, I think, if I weren't as humane as possible.
I don't believe you, Gavin said.
What about our game?
Andros just shook his head.
You don't have any equals, Gavin insisted. You don't have anyone to talk to. You're not going to kill me. You're too lonely.
Andros said,
Goodbye, son.
He picked up his lantern.
You cretin, the dead man said. You worm. You spineless lacquer. We can get out.
Father, tell me you come again.
Gavin was barely hanging on. He couldn't bear the darkness again. Andros hesitated.
No, Dazen, it hurts too much. No games. The poison will be in your next meal. And never a meal until you eat and die. Draft Black! Kill him!
And suddenly the dead man's voice took on cavernous depths and thunderous tones that reverberated into realms beyond human ken.
I won't be imprisoned forever! I refuse! Non serviam!
Gavin roared at the wall and the darkness, but his shout was as much fear as it was defiance. His father looked at him, shouting at a wall like a madman. There was a tremendous sadness and resignation on his face. He folded his arms.
You know, for a moment this conversation, it was almost enough to make me forget.
No, Orholum, no.
Andros said,
There's one last thing I wanted to tell you, though. Did you ever wonder why I picked your older brother to be the prism and not you?
Still recovering from his terror and confusion, had the dead man said he wouldn't be imprisoned? As if they were separate? Gavin said, He was the eldest. You needed to make someone prism immediately.
Triply wrong. First, I'm a younger brother myself. You think I care about primogeniture? Second, I had all the time I needed. And third, that isn't why you believed I picked him anyway, was it?
Gavin swallowed and said quietly, Because he was your favourite. Because he was like you.
Half wrong,
the dead man whispered now, his voice low, gravelly, menacing.
Do you want to be in here with me forever? I won't make it pleasant.
Which half? Gavin asked. No one is like you, arrogant old cancer. He was right about that, but that only made him worse.
Andros said, I fell in love with Felia, not some woman who was a mirror of me. Of course I searched her out for her pedigree, for her family's lineage of drafters, for their intelligence and hers. Those were all prerequisites. I wanted to pass on the best breeding to my sons and daughters that I could. I felt I owed it to you to give you a mother as excellent as your father is, not just some beauty or heiress or noblewoman. But there were other possibilities. However, it was your mother I fell in love with because I realized she had strengths where I had weaknesses. She had not just a mind, but also a heart. She had wisdom and discernment, but she also had compassion. I did not. Do not. Your brother Gavin was more like me than even I am. He was hard and cold and egocentric. Charismatic, too. Better looking than you, a little, but with no sense of others. Like a baby who forgets you exist when you play hide and peek and is surprised each time when you reappear, Gavin forgot to care about people unless they were directly in front of him. Everyone around him thought they were the centre of his world whilst they were around him, but as soon as they walked away, usually having given him what he wanted, he forgot about their concerns, about his promises to them. I chose Gavin to become the Prism Dazen because he was very good at getting what we needed, but I also chose him for another and far more important reason.
And what's that? Gavin asked bitterly.
Because usually, after 7 years, the Prism dies.
What? Gavin breathed.
By choosing your brother, I was consigning him to death. So I swore I would spend as much of his last 7 years with him as possible. Dazen, I chose him to die because you were my favourite. You always were.
You're lying. Gavin's knees weakened and he crumpled to the floor.
You had all the strengths of your mother and most of mine. You were the me I would have chosen to be.
You ignored me. You despised me.
Your brother was dangerous. He needed me if he was to have any chance of becoming a moral leader or even a decent human being. You, on the other hand, were destined to be upright. You erred, but you were always the son who ended up doing the right thing, had not the madness taken you. Had I understood what Black Luxon would do to you, I would have done everything differently. Perhaps I would have chosen you to be Prism first, and let you die young and pure before this madness took you. I did the best I could with what I knew.
I hate you, Gavin said.
And I loved you, Dazen. And you betrayed me, hiding your identity from me for all those years. Every day was a twist of the knife, another ingratitude heaped on the rest. Another day of spitting on my sacrifices. But I was right about you. You're useless, broken, worthless, and used up now. But for a long time, you were magnificent. You were the greatest Prism this world has known.
Strike him down. It's our last chance,
the dead man begged. Gavin's breaths came like little fires into his lungs. The Black Luxon was right there, burning molten under his fingertips. He could use it now. Surely it was safe to use a little. Even if he lost a little piece of himself, what was losing a few memories against losing his very life? Andros lifted the lantern and stared at Gavin as he readied himself to go.
You can still draft Black Luxon, can't you?
Andros asked. Yes, Gavin hissed. It was so close.
Kill him! Kill him! The dead man screamed.
And yet you haven't,
Andros said. Surely next there would be some jibe about Gavin's weakness, his lack of will. All of Gavin's hatred and fear and the long years of resentment against his father raced to his fingertips, but they were outrun by pity. A man who has strength but no love is worse than dead. Andros Gyle shook his head, astounded. Each word clear and slow, he said,
Imprisoned, dying, furious. And yet you won't use the black, not even against me. This is death, his or yours,
the dead man said.
You see?
Andros Gyle said with a sad little quirk toward a grin.
I was right about you.
The lantern snicked shut, and Gavin was plunged into the final darkness.